The following program, The Russ Belleville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belleville Show are their own, and The Russ Belleville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belleville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Thursday, May 1st, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I got to tell you, what a beautiful day here in Portland, Oregon, even though the Blazers lost another shoddily reffed game in the NBA. That's all right. We'll come back here to the Moda Center tomorrow night and close out the Houston Rockets and move on to round two of the NBA playoffs. Today is just gorgeous in Portland. It's supposed to be in the 80s in temperature, just sunny as hell out there. Took the morning and did some lawn work, trimming and raking and mowing. So really feeling good today. Got a lot of vitamin D in my system and ready to take on the drug war. And folks, that's what it is. It's a war. In today's Radical Rant, we're going to talk about how we are at war, and it's time that we see police as the enemy. They are not our friends. They're not there to help us. They're there to put us in cages. And having a little bit of that attitude, plus some knowledge, could keep you from suffering the fate I suffered in F Utah. That's right, getting arrested and getting a free ride in a cop car. So we'll talk about that at the end of the show. At half past, speaking of cops, the only cops we do like here at the Russ Belleville Show, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. It's our regular Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. We'll be speaking with Larry S. Talley. He's retired Navy and also a member of Normal down there in Texas. I believe DFW Normal or Texas Normal. Not sure which one, but one of those great chapters. We'll be talking about what's going on in Texas as far as their reaction to legalization in Colorado, and a look forward to the Global Cannabis March and the Texas Regional Normal Conference that'll be taking place there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I will be there June 6th, 7th, and 8th. Also on the show today, we're going to talk about the head of the DEA, Michelle Lenhart. She was complaining in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee again today. We're going to take a look at some of the dubious statistics she offered up as part of her scaremongering on why it's so horrible that adults are allowed to buy, sell, grow, and smoke marijuana in the Centennial State. But first, we'll start off with our 420 radio news. In the headlines today, a new poll shows even prohibitionists wouldn't snitch on tokers that live next door. Iowa's set to become the sixth CBD-only state. Medical marijuana's dead in Louisiana this year. Minnesota's marching down the Box Canyon on its medical marijuana, and CBD only brings favorable headlines to an anti-medical marijuana governor in Pennsylvania. All that coming up next.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belleville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
I'm Radical Russ Belleville, and I want to thank you for listening to 420 Radio. We couldn't survive without you and our sponsors, and I'd like you to check out one of our prime sponsors, the National Cannabis Coalition.
I've been working with NCC since June of 2012, and I'm proud to be part of the team they have assembled. National Cannabis Coalition is building the partnerships with reformers, lawmakers, and industry we need to be successful. Visit the National Cannabis Coalition website at nationalcannabiscoalition.com or the easier-to-remember ncc420.com. That's where you'll get the exclusive first look at my radical rants, as well as informative articles from the nation's top cannabis pundits. Visit ncc420.com today, and if you have your phone handy, text Russ to 420-420 to support NCC and 420 Radio. It's a free text message that helps us help you end adult marijuana prohibition. Learn more at ncc420.com, and thanks for supporting independent marijuana legalization public radio. 420 Radio, turning red states and blue states green. The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the best way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you're detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
This is your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 1st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. Even opponents of legal marijuana wouldn't call the cops on a pot-smoking neighbor, from the Huffington Post. At least half of Americans support legalizing marijuana, recent polls have shown, but even among Americans who think the drug should be illegal, few are so strongly opposed that they would report a pot-smoking neighbor to the police. According to a new HuffPost YouGov poll, Americans support legalizing marijuana by a margin of 50% to 32%, but the number of people who would call the cops on a neighbor is much lower than that. Only 16% said they would report their neighbor to the police if they saw that person smoking marijuana in their home or yard, while 70% said they would not do that. Even Americans who think marijuana should be illegal were unlikely to take that step. Among opponents of legalized pot, only 34% said they would call the police on their neighbor for smoking weed, while 47% said they would not. And although Republicans oppose legalizing marijuana by a 53 to 29 margin, they also said by a 56 to 27 margin they wouldn't call police on their neighbor for smoking it. Overall, the 16% of Americans who said they would call the police on their neighbor for smoking pot was fewer than the number that would report a neighbor for playing loud music at night, 31%, or even letting their dog run around the neighborhood off a leash, 25%. Americans were somewhat more likely to say they would call the police if their neighbor was growing marijuana in their home or yard than if they were merely enjoying it there. Even then, though, only 34% said they would report it, while 48% said that they would not. Limited medical marijuana bill reaches Iowa Governor Branstad's desk from the PressCitizen.com. Iowa lawmakers early Thursday morning approved legislation legalizing the possession and use of marijuana oil for the treatment of epilepsy, capping one of the most unexpected public policy developments in recent state history. After appearing all but dead in the waning hours of the 2014 legislative session, a bill allowing patients with intractable epilepsy to use the substance known as cannabidiol was brought to the House floor at 3:20 in the morning on Thursday and approved less than 20 minutes later. The Senate approved the House's language on a 38-8 vote a short time later, sending the bill to Governor Terry Branstad, who has indicated a willingness to sign it. The bill approved Thursday decriminalizes possession of cannabidiol for epileptic patients and their caregivers who receive a neurologist recommendation and obtain a state-issued ID card. The doctor must practice in Iowa, and the caregivers must be designated by the recommending doctor. Production and sale of the oil is not legal under the bill, however, meaning patients or caregivers will have to obtain it elsewhere and bring it back to Iowa, violating federal trafficking laws. Possession of the oil will be limited to 32 ounces, roughly a six-month supply. Medical marijuana bill killed by Louisiana Senate committee, from NOLA.com. Hope for medical marijuana legislation getting through the Louisiana legislature this year is not dead, but a Senate committee quashed on Wednesday the best shot of setting up a medical marijuana industry in the state. The Senate Health and Welfare Committee killed the bill, sponsored by Senator Fred Mills, a Republican, that would have set up the tightest law in the United States regulating the prescription, dispensing, and use of marijuana for medical purposes. Mills, a pharmacist by occupation, said his past experience running the State Board of Pharmacy and months he spent drafting the legislation led him to believe this bill was the best chance of getting lawmakers on board. Governor Bobby Jindal's comments earlier this year that he was open to medical marijuana in Louisiana added hope. Though the legislature legalized medical marijuana in 1991, there's no mechanism in current law that allows for the legal dispensing of the drug. The bill was involuntarily deferred by a vote of 6-2. Minnesota House leaders offer marijuana compromise from CBSLocalMinnesota.com. Democratic leaders in the Minnesota House on Thursday proposed a limited clinical trial for medical marijuana, a compromise proposal that they said is unopposed by law enforcement. A push to legalize medical marijuana has been blocked this session largely by opposition from law enforcement. Their proposal would allow children and adults suffering from severe illnesses to use medical marijuana with the option of a state source for the drug if no federal source is available. It specifies that the drug could not be smoked, a key concern of police groups. If used in leaf form, the proposal says, it could be done only through medically supervised delivery by vaporizer. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett changes position on medical marijuana, sort of, from WGAL.com. Governor Tom Corbett is changing his position on medical marijuana and backing the legalization of a marijuana extract to treat severe seizures in children. The oil extract called cannabidiol can save the lives of seizure-wrecked children. Democrats running to challenge Corbett in the fall election also favor the legalization of medical marijuana. This has been your 420 Radio News for Thursday, May 1st, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we'll go behind the headlines and take a look at the statements by DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart to the Senate Judiciary Committee and the questionable nature of some of the statistics she is using. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back. Cannabis Outreach Collective is an alternative health and wellness option located in Gladstone, Oregon, that serves patients in the Portland area and beyond. We are a full-service alternative health and wellness collective accommodating patients with natural, organic, holistic, and homeopathic remedies, nutritional guidance, advice, education, and medical cannabis, fully in accordance with Oregon OMMP law. You can find out more about Cannabis Outreach Collective on Facebook at COC503 or by emailing cannabisoutreachcollective503@gmail.com or by telephone at 503-853-1319. Check out our menu on Weed Maps and visit Cannabis Outreach Collective today.
Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, home of the famous lighter leash. Herb Age Designs, get your Herb Age t-shirts and hoodies and show your pride. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com and follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter. We'll see you at this year's Hemp Fest. Crank it up!
Big Daddy thinks.
Funky Rollerade.
Oh yeah, this is Big Daddy, and I'll be your freakazoid every Thursday night right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Funky Roller Rink.
11 Eastern, 8 Pacific. Only on RadicalRust.com.
Welcome back, folks. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And today, DEA Administrator Michelle Lenhart was testifying in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And she expressed fears that legalization in Colorado has led to spikes in marijuana trafficking through the nearby states. But during her testimony, she once again played fast and loose with the truth about marijuana. First, Lenhart claimed that Kansas has experienced a 61% increase in seizures of marijuana from Colorado. Now, I couldn't find any Kansas police statistics to verify this claim, but I did find a report from February from KMBC News in Kansas City that quoted one small town border cop explaining how his possession cases jumped from 12 in 2012 to 38 in 2013. But any statistic about more seizures is questionable because much of that data is generated by how invested police are in patrolling, profiling, and making stops over marijuana. Now that marijuana is legal in Colorado and cops in nearby states are increasing their patrols and targeting out-of-state drivers from legal states, well, of course they're going to catch more marijuana possessors. Even if their only probable cause is a license plate from Colorado and a driver's license from Washington, as is alleged by a man who is suing the Idaho State Police for profiling and illegally detaining him. Next, Michelle Lenhart described an increase by 28% in the number of marijuana-related emergency room visits between 2007 and 2011. Well, this is just another junk stat collected from the Drug Abuse Warning Network, or DAWN. It collects data on how many people visiting the ER have used marijuana. So it's not a collection of, oh no, I overdosed on the reefers and I got to get to the ER. It's a collection of, oh no, I got in an accident or I got sick, broke a leg, sprained an ankle, got hit by a car through no fault of my own, whatever it might have been. And I had to go to the ER. And when they took my blood or they asked me if I used marijuana, I admitted it. That's the kind of stat we're talking about. So as pot becomes more legal and more people are using it and more people are unafraid to admit they're using it, well, your marijuana-related anything stat is going to go up. Whatever it might be, more marijuana-related emergency room visits, more marijuana-related basketball game watching, more marijuana-related walking down the street, it's all going to go up. Finally, Michelle Lenhart also explained how 1 in 15 high school seniors is a near daily marijuana user, and since 2009, more youth smoke marijuana than cigarettes. So I decided to look it up, and 1 out of 15 is 6.67% of high school seniors. And according to the 2013 Monitoring the Future survey, 6.5% of high school seniors admit daily use of marijuana. 6.67, close enough, 1 in 15. But left unsaid is that the daily use figure of 6.5% hasn't changed in 3 years. In 2012, it was 6.5%, and in 2011, it was actually 6.6%. Now, to be fair, that is still the greatest rate of daily high school senior pot smoking that's recorded in this data set that goes all the way back to 1991. 6.6 is the highest it's gotten. It's now down to 6.5. But when medical marijuana went into effect, in California, 1997, the daily senior toking rate was 5.8%. So we've gone from 5.8% to 6.5%. Has it really gone up that much? It's actually a 12% increase if you're interested. But does that increase reflect risk-taking seniors making a smarter choice? In that same time period, alcohol use daily dropped from 3.9 to 2.2. Been drunk daily dropped from 2.0 to 1.3. Binge drinking in the last 2 weeks dropped from 31.3 to 22.1. And then there's the cigarette smoking that Lenhart mentioned. From 1997 to 2013, daily cigarette smoking among high school seniors dropped from 24.6 to 8.5, and half pack a day or more use dropped from 14.3 to 3.4. So, when the use of toxic and highly addictive alcohol and tobacco are dropping by amounts that range from 43.5% to 76% overall, isn't it fair to ask whether a 12% increase in pot smoking had anything to do with it? I know, Michelle Lenhart would say that's an unfair comparison of marijuana versus alcohol and tobacco, but she makes unfair comparisons between marijuana versus alcohol and tobacco all the time. Hey, that time means it's time for our union-mandated safety break. We've got us some Webster. I don't know why it's called Webster. Perhaps it's short and cracks wise all the time. I don't know.
Oh, have you
give that a little toke, and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
Man, a reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
I'm a reefer smoking man.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word Russ to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, I say little red collie, darling, your words to fails.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana. Less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in Pod Safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Welcome back, everyone. 24 after the hour, and joining us by telephone, we got our Chuck Diesel on the line. How you doing, Chuck?
Chuck, hold on, Russ. I can barely hear you. Let me drive around the corner here.
Right on. I hope that music coming down maybe helps a little bit. And let me open up by apologizing for last week when we were off the air. I was taking the week off to deal with legal situations, and I didn't get in touch with you, so I apologize.
Yeah, no, glad you made it home. Glad to have you back in Portland.
Yeah, it's a lot safer here in Multnomah County, that's for sure. So, Chuck Diesel giving us a call here. You're in Washington, right?
Yeah.
Right on. Washington State, where you're getting ready to experience legal markets, but it's not rolling out quite as smoothly there, is it?
No, it's been kind of a bummer to watch. And I try to stay positive because a lot of my friends that are kind of on the fringe of, you know, they support it, they definitely voted for it, but they definitely asked me as kind of their friend guru on the ganja just if they should vote for it. And I obviously said, hell yes, vote for it. But being a patient myself, I'm definitely feeling the ramifications of kind of what you talked about, just not getting our shit together, pardon my French, before 502.
Yeah, that's the thing is, you know, you can't just dawdle around as if legalization's never going to happen. You got to plan ahead for these kind of things. And I hope everything works out for the best, and I think it will. All right, let's get to our tune for today for Groovin' Thursday. We got some hip-hop here. Tell us about the artist and the tune.
We got Smoke Dizza with Continental Kush Breakfast. It's off his mixtape from, I think it was 2011. It's George Kush the Button. He's definitely a cannabis-friendly artist and someone that I like. And I can relate to this. I have one of those Atmos Raw pens tucked in my drawer next to my bed. And occasional Saturday, I just take a couple of rips and go back to sleep for a little while. So that's what the song's all about.
All right, well, let's get to it. It's Smoke Dizza with Continental Kush Breakfast featuring Den 10. All right, thanks you, Chuck.
During
Diesel.
These last few months,
talk to you later.
I told our country and I told the world,
shut the fuck up and smoke my weed.
The fuck? Where's the weed?
I'm up. The headband's calling me. Handle things accordingly. Thank the Lord, grab my papers. Time for early session. Head stash the size of the pillow I rest my head on. Dead on, dipping my ashtray instead. Got one pre-roll, so breakfast in bed it is. That lemon lime shit, bomb shit. Still hungry, leftovers in my grinder. This a Continental Kush breakfast. So good, got a nigga going for seconds. I'm a Continental type of nigga. Continental flights, first class attender. Mile high member, high time stizzer. Fly as fuck, somewhere puffing on killer. George W, the W stands for winner. Don't make me push the button on you niggas.
As the world keep turning and this kush keep burning, wake and bake every morning like the sun when it's rising. I lie. Just alive. The connect's confidential and the weed's continental. Like the planes in my Bentley and my Rolex presidential with eyes.
Wake up and smell a dower. It's still a marathon. I'm lighting hour after hour here on in. That PK starting to creep up. Niggas falling, tapping out, trying to keep up. Catch me if you can, this the Kemp Dog Man. Lit rice up and I finish bread drink. Bring baby lungs out of the cradle. Trying to smoke with the big boys. You smoke them under the table for real. I don't smoke Nick Ills, it ill. Try this Bubba Kush, I'll see how this feel. High off two pulls, you got a good deal. Room all cloudy off that Humboldt County. It's the beginning of a good day. Good morning, Autobahn, where's the good haze? Neighbors beefing about the smell, but I'm sorry. Every morning I religiously salute Mr. Molly Wood.
As the world keep turning and this kush keep burning, wake and bake every morning like the sun when it's rising. I lie. This the life. The connect's confidential and the weed's continental. Like the planes in my Bentley and my Rolex presidential with eyes.
Some of my finest hours have been spent on my back veranda, smoking hemp and observing as far as my eye can see. Thomas Jefferson, 1781.
Support the Russ Belville Show. Text the word RUSS to 420-420 and connect with the National Cannabis Coalition. You can also send $10 to the Russ Belville Show right from your smartphone. That's Russ to 420-420. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Marijuana and alcohol are the two most popular recreational drugs in America. Marijuana smoking is non-toxic, relatively safe, and has a low risk of dependence. Alcohol drinking is potentially fatal, dangerous to society, and is quite addictive. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? That's the question of the new book, Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink? By Paul Armentano, Mason Tvert, and Steve Fox. Visit Amazon.com or ChelseaGreen.com today to order your copy of Marijuana is Safer, or visit MarijuanaIsSafer.com.
Stony Sundays, starring Coral Reefer from San Francisco, California, Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific on 420radio.org.
One of the most disturbing elements of the Prohibition War is how it's made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows the futility of Prohibition and reaches out to educate the community and current law enforcement. Today, the Russ Belville Show visits with another speaker from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition with one clear message. Cops say legalize drugs.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 32 after the hour and just getting in under deadline here, trying to get this interview put together, calling and typing and moving all at the same time. But we've got our friend on the line, Larry Talley from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, retired U.S. Navy intelligence. How you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. Wow, fantastic job for us. I'm watching you online right now. I was wondering... Man, you put it together fast. You're just a consummate professional.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Thank you. I do what I can. You know, we'll get more equipment, and I've got the word out for some college interns to possibly take some of the load off, but thank you very much. Now, Larry, you've been, we've talked many times here on the show. We've gotten to meet each other in person a few times, and I know once May Day hits, you know, May 1st, we're looking at all these big events that are happening in the cannabis community, and you got a really strong cannabis community there in Texas as far as fighting for freedom, fighting for reform. I imagine you're participating in this weekend's Global Cannabis March?
Oh, you know it. Absolutely. DFW Normal, that's DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth Chapter of the National Organization for the Reformation of Marijuana Laws, .org. We have got, we put a billboard on Interstate 20 between Dallas and Fort Worth a couple of weeks ago, and it just blew up. We got television news, two TV news, local TV news stations have done a story on it. We've been in the featured in Fort Worth Weekly, and it really took off. We got a lot of members and got a lot of attention. And so yes, we're putting on a huge. It's more of a festival, not just a protest march. Our event starts like at noon and it runs all day, and into the afternoon. We got our march, I believe, starts a little bit later in the afternoon as we march around the downtown Fort Worth area. We'll aggregate people on our way. Downtown Fort Worth on the weekends is really busy. There's a lot of families out there, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. We have bands lined up, and you participated in the last one that we did in Dallas in that similar format. And if you remember, I was just telling a friend of mine, we had a gentleman who decided to drop his drawers right in the middle of one of the bands, if you recall.
Yep.
I think you even named him. It was hilarious.
Hey, we've got that video, CW33 Nightcap News, covering the DFW Global Marijuana March. Let me play a little bit of this for our viewers. If we can get the sound up on this. Where is the sound? Of course I'm not going to get the sound up. Well, Larry, tell us a little bit about the march, and I'll just run the video here in the background. Where do people need to be, and what's happening with it?
Oh, goodness. Oh, you caught me.
Oh, there it is. I've got the... Go ahead. Sorry about that, Larry. Sorry to interrupt. I found the sound, but go ahead and tell people where they need to be as far as the march goes.
Well, come to downtown Fort Worth tomorrow and find a parking place, and you can't miss us. First, go to our Facebook page and read the instructions, or go to our internet site and read the instructions at dfwnormal.org so you can get the specific location and the specific time. But it's going to be a festival, and you can't miss this in downtown Fort Worth. It's not that large. If you park around Commerce Street and you walk around 2nd Street and you walk on up down toward Houston Street, you'll be able to see where we're going to be. There's going to be a lot of people aggregating. There's going to be a lot of live music and a lot of things going on.
All right, here's that news coverage video.
Like it or not, billboards are a regular part of our commute in DFW, promoting everything from burgers and soda to pot. That's right, standing high above 420, I mean I-20, is a sign you don't see every day.
It's a trip, maybe in Fort Worth, because you know we're not used to it a lot out here. You have people that think it's the end of the world, and you have people that can't live without it. So it's still a big debate all the way around, man.
If Normal was hoping to get a big reaction, it's working.
In the state of Texas, we're marching for marijuana on May 3rd, and we hope everyone joins us, and that's why we put up this billboard, because last year we had about 500 people show up. This year we're looking for 1,000 people to show up.
Normal has been a strong advocate for the legalization of the feel-good herb, and with states like Colorado leading the way, public sentiment for legalization has been growing like a weed.
We've seen some radical changes in public opinion here in Texas, particularly with states such as Colorado and Washington going legal.
And it's this change of heart by the public that made this church-going mom come out in support of the weed that we once thought caused reefer madness.
Marijuana, the burning weed with its roots in hell.
So all those fears that I had, of what people might think of me, especially as a mom, just kind of were unfounded, because I have yet to hear anything negative about my role with DFW Normal.
So does she think the sign will help?
With this billboard and with all the news coverage that we've had recently, I think downtown Fort Worth is going to be a sea of green come May 3rd.
Well, whether you are for it or against it, whether you call it the Wacky Tabacky or Mary Jane, one thing is for certain. If you go to the march on May 3rd, you might want to bring some food, you know, in case you get the munchies.
Well, Larry Talley, that's the coverage there on CW, and I imagine there was more coverage on other stations. And sounds like your march is going to be huge, going to be a big breakthrough in Texas there.
Yeah, we're hoping that it is. I've been at every march since I retired from the Navy and moved out here and gotten involved with DFW Normal. They've been doing it since the history of the Dallas Fort Worth chapter of Normal has been involved with the Worldwide Marijuana March. It's been since, I think, 2006 or 2007. So this is going on a number of years that Dallas has been involved. But we've never really got that many people, no more than 500 or so, I think, maybe at any one given march. But this year, I really expect there to be a lot more. We've had over 1,000 people, quite a lot more than that, RSVP us on Facebook, but we'll just plan for the best. It's going to be it's going to be an all day event anyway. We've got booths, face painting, glass blowers, and all kinds of events going on out here. So just everybody that's listening, come on out and enjoy yourself. Bring the family. It's going to be a big, fun family event.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things about DFW Normal is that truth enforcement vehicle, the Ford Crown Victoria cop car, retrofitted with green lights and National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws along the runners. And just, it's such an amazing thing to see, because it really turns people's heads. So go down to the march. I'm sure the truth enforcement vehicle will be there, as well as all the great people of DFW Normal. Now, Larry, in addition to this happening at the beginning of May, beginning of June, you've got the Texas Regional Normal Conference, and I'll be heading out there and visiting with you and a lot of other folks. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's last year was the first year that we ever put it on, and I thought it went great. I've never attended a conference like this before for drug policy, this big, and it was really fantastic. This year it's going to be even better. Sean's still lining up a litany of speakers to present at this event. I know you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Just like last year, it's really something to behold. I learned so much by attending last year, listening to, you know, 3 days worth of speakers talk about reform and the reform movement. There was Rob Campia from MPP. He's going to be here again this year. And Texas is a big swing state. We really want to make Texas green within the next, you know, legislative cycle, or certainly within the next two. I think it's possible. And MPP, for a lot of people that don't know, MPP has bought an office down in Austin. So, and that's great. Austin, Texas is where the capital of Texas is. And, you know, when MPP buys an office and moves down there to Austin, then that tells us what's getting invested into the reform movement here in Texas. And that just brings everything to bear. Between Normal, between MPP, Mothers Against Teen Violence, LEAP, Drug Policy Forum of Texas, there's a litany of different organizations that are really coming to each other and helping each other, and we're cooperating and we're getting involved with everybody and pulling everything together. The Drug Truth Network down there in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of reform movement going on, and we're finally making some big progress here in Texas.
Yeah, it's great to hear. And Larry Talley with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, one of the things you do with LEAP is you get to speak to different groups around your area. And can you give us any anecdotes or any examples of how you've seen public opinion changing, even in just the time you've been doing this?
Yeah, I got involved writing with you in the Stash. And some years ago, and I started getting involved with Drug Policy Forum of Texas and walking into Lions clubs and kind of preaching the gospel of reform. And initially, I got a lot of kickback. I was even concerned sometimes about, you know, parking in my driveway in a very conservative little town in Flower Mound, Texas. You know, what my neighbors would think. But things are changing very, very quickly, and it is very noticeable. People realize now that we've got two states that have legalized it, that people aren't dying, the sky's not falling, and the world's not crashing, the economy isn't coming to an end, and they're all beginning to realize that the prohibition of marijuana, really, it's just created more. There's not less marijuana on the street as a result of it. There's more. There's not less crime. There's more. You know, respect for law is not increased. It's diminished. You know, the cost of government's not, certainly not less, it's greater. And when they realize this, I guess that's when we've done a good job of educating them as a reform movement, and it's spreading.
I agree.
So yeah, there's a great deal that's changed since I've been here, and I'm very encouraged. I'm very happy.
Now, one of the fallout here from legalization in Colorado, and it's something that the DEA administrator testified to in the Senate Judiciary Committee today, is the migration of weed out of Colorado to the nearby states. And we've heard complaints from Nebraska and Kansas and Oklahoma, and I imagine even North Texas isn't that far a drive to get to, you know, southeastern Colorado, if my geography serves me correctly. Have you heard that scare in Texas?
You know, it's I've heard of this. I can't explain her numbers. I don't know how much that she draws on it. Is this an anecdotal amount? Is this a significant amount? You know, no matter what goes on, no matter in what industry, everything will be abused. And you know, and to that extent, I know that. Is it really being abused? Maybe there's some sick people that really needed some medicine. Maybe they really needed it. It's the laws that are flawed. So wherever it's ending up at, we have to remember that the laws are flawed. That it's not that it's leaking out of Washington. It's leaking out of Colorado. Nearly half the country has, you know, marijuana available to them in some legal form, decriminalized, medical, legalized fashion. It's going to happen until it's legal across the country until we have some declassification. This is just anecdotal stuff that she's talking. It's just fodder. Let's talk about the real argument, and that's the fact that it's still illegal to begin with. Let's reschedule it. I think that's the argument we should have with her.
Hmm. Larry Talley from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. You can check out more at the website leap.cc. And Larry, we'll see you in Texas in June.
God bless you. Thank you very much for all you do for the movement and the reform movement, Russ. Thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the kind words. I appreciate your service. All right, when we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant. We are in a war on drugs, and there's a war, then there's an enemy. We're going to talk a little bit about the mindset of dealing with police when we come back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers, because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Are you or is someone you know a marijuana smoker? Have you or is someone in your family been arrested for a marijuana violation? You need to know the truth about pot. NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, is the most comprehensive source of information regarding marijuana and its effects on health, as well as legal issues. NORML even offers a database of lawyers specializing in cannabis in your area. NORML, the nation's largest and most successful marijuana law reform organization, has spent decades gathering the knowledge and science on everything related to cannabis. NORML is the best resource to find out the truth about marijuana, connect with a lawyer in your area, or help find an end to prohibition. Information is available at normal.org, that's NORML.org, or toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
420 Radio. Tune in, turn on, get hot.
The marijuana can mess you up.
Right. We've been getting high for what? 15 years? Nothing's ever happened. Did I get into all the drugs and start mugging people? Nah. Didn't do anything. In fact, I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
Man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Tim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper Man? If he says he walks the ocean and in time he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the Reaper Man.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
You ever watch those old, World War II movies, and the heroes, fighting against the Nazis, and there's all the honor and sacrifice and battle and that feeling of camaraderie amongst the people who are in war together, and goodness, that's awful. Whatever that one was. We're going to have to throw that one away. Sorry, folks. My apologies on the sound effects there. I don't know what happened with that file. But the point is, we are at war. we are at war. A war was declared on us by our own president, Richard Nixon, in 1971. Public enemy number one, he called us. And that he was going to do everything he could to erase the scourge of drugs in America. And while many people may think he's talking about hard drugs and very dangerous and addictive drugs, or should say more dangerous and addictive drugs, really, we're talking about marijuana. At the time that this war was declared, there was the war in Vietnam and protest, and marijuana was a counterculture thing, part of your rebellion against the draft or against the Vietnam War, against Nixon and whatever. And it's so culturally ingrained, which is ironic in our opponents saying that alcohol is so culturally ingrained, that marijuana is opposed mostly for political and socio reasons. Reasons having to do with our evolution through that period of time, so much more than the actual facts about the marijuana itself. Marijuana is associated with the hippies and the counterculture and the beatniks before that, and really very little of it has to do with its actual effect on people and its actual effect on society. And so part of this that we need to remember is we need to get ourselves, as soldiers, if we choose to be pot smokers, whether we're choosing to do that for health reasons or choosing to do that just because we like it, we need to get ourselves into that mindset that we are at war.
I know nothing. Nothing.
We are at war. I was arrested, of course, in Utah. And my number, this is something, it replays in my head every day. I think about every moment of this thing that went down and how I could have handled it better, and trying to analyze what went wrong. And the number one thing I came to about what went wrong was not starting with the right attitude. I began the encounter as a victim, as someone who was being caught in some sort of way, instead of a free citizen who has the right to travel across this country unmolested by police forces whose rights were being abused in the name of profiling and making a buck. That's the attitude we need to start cultivating among each other. That when we're getting pulled over, that in and of itself is an affront. We are free citizens, allowed to travel. We have this in our Constitution. It's part of our rights as Americans, the right to free travel, without some cop saying, "Show me your papers, please." That we have the right to go from, if we wish, to go to from Portland, Oregon, cross country to Atlanta, Georgia, and cross every damn red state and buckle in the Bible Belt. We have that right. And should be able to do so unmolested, no matter what bumper sticker we got on our car, or how long our hair is when we're driving, or the tattoo sleeve we got hanging out the window on a sunny day. That's just a fundamental part of being an American. You should just be able to travel so long as you're not speeding, recklessly driving, swerving all around the place. But now, we live in a country where the cops are looking for any tiny technical violation of law. And just violations, folks. Things like, you know, the taillights out. Oh, you don't have the, I'm sorry, you didn't have the lights necessary on the license plate holder. Oh, goodness, the tint on your window is 12% too dark. We had to interrupt your day, sir. That's the level we've gotten to where our police forces are finding any pretext they can to get us stopped. And being detained right there is the beginning of the violation of your rights, unless there's a dang good reason. Now, in this cop situation, we often talk about, and Herb Thrash and I were talking about this a little bit, how at the rallies and in the speeches and on the flyers and stuff, we often tell people what to say. You don't tell them what not to say or how the context works or how to deal with a group, right? First of all, you're only in a group situation, getting pulled over in the car or harassed on the street or whatever, or in a house party. You're only as strong as the weakest link there. The cop will find the person. They did so talking to us on the side of the road to try to find, all right, who's the person who's weakest here on the rights and is most likely to blab? And then they'll pick on that person. So that it's incumbent upon us to get all of our friends trained on this as well. It's if you are into infographics, follow my Pinterest account. My Pinterest account is, I think it's Radical Russ on Pinterest. Yeah, Pinterest Radical Russ. I've got a drug war images. I just today posted a couple of great infographics that kind of break down what your rights are and what's going on. We often tell the people what to say, like, I wish to speak to attorney. I don't want to answer any questions. I don't consent to any searches. Am I free to go? Am I being detained? But we don't explain context or what's going on or how the police encounter actually works. And so that's something I'm going to be working hard at this summer as I go around and do these speeches at these different festivals, is putting together a quick 5-minute package that I can deliver on how to deal with cops. And the first thing to understand is that they are the enemy. They're not your friend. They're not there to help you along the way. Their job is to collect evidence for the judicial system to convict people of crimes. And if it gets to the point where they have pulled you over on the side of the road, that game is on. Okay? Game is on. The minute you're pulled over, they are trying to find a way to arrest you for a crime. That's the ultimate goal. Now, they come to the window. Oftentimes they'll say, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" This is a trick they like to use to get you to admit something that maybe they didn't have on you. Maybe they were going to say, "Well, I saw you weaving over the center line." And then they say, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" You say, "Well, I was speeding." Right? Don't help them. Their job is to collect evidence that you are committing crimes. Don't tell them about the crimes you've committed, if you have. When they ask questions, we need to make sure that we are verifying what the stop is about. That is the first step. You are a citizen with rights who is driving down the road when, for no good reason as far as you're concerned, an officer of the state used force, because remember, the force here is the fact that if you don't do what they say, they have the right to shoot at you in certain circumstances, run your car off the road. By force, you've been detained from your day. They've got to have a damn good reason for doing that. That's what must be established first. When they come to the window, your attitude, now, I'm not, when I say attitude, I don't mean to be impolite or rude or cuss or anything like that, or be aggressive, but I mean to have the right fighting attitude inside while maintaining cool on the outside. The response when you get there, when they come to your window, is to roll it down a little bit and to ask them the question to establish at the beginning of the encounter that you are the citizen who's in control of this. To say, "Why have you pulled me over, officer?" Get them to tell you why right up front. "Well, you're weaving, or your window tint, or whatever the hell it is." Whatever they answer, that's the subject of any conversation that goes on from that point on. And in your case, the only part of the conversation is questions. Those questions can be, "Well, where are you headed?" "What does that have to do with my window tint, officer? Am I being detained over window tint? Am I free to go yet?" Well, we just want to ask a few questions. "I'm not interested in answering a bunch of questions. You pulled me over for my window tint. Am I free to go yet? Are you going to write me a ticket for window tint?" "Well, we need to know, you want to step out of the car? Are you ordering me to step out of the car, or is that a request to step out of the car, officer? Am I being officially detained and ordered to step out of the car?" And that's the kind of attitude, if I had developed that, if I had gone forth with that in Utah, I think would have driven away with a window tint warning. Don't have to learn the lesson $5,000 plus like I had. Check out flexyourrights.org. They are a great resource for this, as well as the ACLU. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is coming up. Toker Talk Radio will take your calls at 971-533-7111. And we'll catch up on some more news. Interesting stuff happening today in the world of cannabis. I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you